to send a hint, but whatever.
I didn't send one either, so.
We're so bad at this.
I thought about it, but I honestly didn't come up with my topic until 9 p.m. last night, and then I was like, it's too late to send a hint, and then I couldn't send it at work because I didn't have time.
Dave, you need to keep us in line with sending hints. He said, Hashtag Dave the intern.
More like hashtag Dave the saint at this point.
Yeah.
At this point, yes.
Dave, do you want to say the intro?
What do I have to say?
Welcome back to another episode of Oi with the Terror Already. I'm Dave the Saint.
You got it.
He said no.
Yeah, I just heard that. It's all right. Put him on the spot.
Yeah. One day, his voice will be heard. Welcome back to another episode of Oi with the Terror Already. I'm one of your hosts, Danielle.
And I'm your other host, Sandra.
Yes, yeah, so we've been catching up as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we could start with the ois and oos of the week.
Sure. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote mine down even to remember more. But okay, so oi, but now it's kind of an ooh because it kind of ended up working out, which was like the case with, it's related to Michelle, the photographer from the wedding. So as like per usual, again, like terrible at communication. Like I would email her any question and it'd take her at least a week to respond. And typically I'd have to email and text to get a response, like whenever I said anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was like done having to communicate with her. And then I remembered that she still has to make our wedding album because that was like included with everything else in the contract. So we have all our wedding photos, but like it was thrown in that she could actually make an album for us with some of the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically had to go in, like, favorite the photos we wanted, blah, blah, blah. So basically, she told us, she sent us, like, the link to access the photos, like, 3-4 weeks ago. Never did. Dave reached out saying, where are the photos you said you were going to send? She responds, like, maybe 5 minutes after he emails, which is very unusual for her. And I was like, interesting. And she responds by saying, oh yeah, I sent the link weeks ago, like pretty much it. And I'm just like, what the hell? And I go through all my emails and like multiple times, put her name in, nothing comes up, and I'm just like, okay, cool. So she either blatantly lied or thought she did but didn't. Also, I've noticed on her Instagram she doesn't do wedding photos at all anymore. So I'm almost like, she's just, like, over the wedding photos. Now she's just moved on, like, her next chapter and doesn't want to deal with this or something. Like, I don't understand. But I'm just like, how does she not realize how annoying this is for us? Because we're waiting on this.
Yeah.
So then I'm just like, okay, so what's going to happen? And so a few days later, she emails me the link, doesn't say anything, just basically an email with the link to access it. And there's a password attached to it. So I go to the website, put in the password, and it tells me invalid password. So I'm like, okay, like now I'm over this situation. I'm just like, am I going crazy? And the password is my email address. So it's not just like random letters or something. I do my email multiple times, like not working. I tell Dave and he tries it, doesn't work. So then he tries my email with a space at the end, and then it works. Also, meanwhile, during this time, I emailed Michelle and told her, oh, yeah, Michelle, this isn't working. It's telling me an invalid password, and she didn't respond. So then a few days after that, after Dave figured out we could get in to look at the photos and everything, which, like, they were there, so she wasn't, like, scamming us, which is at one point what I thought, because I was just like, how can someone be, like, this inept? Like, is she just, like, conning us or something?
She might be.
Yeah, I don't understand. So then she emailed and was like, oh, yeah, you're not supposed to need a password to get into this. I removed it from the website.
Jeez. Yep.
And that's the latest saga of the photographer.
So did you guys pick the photos to put in the album?
Yeah. So, yeah, now we're taking our time because Dave and I said, well, we waited so long for her to send it to us. We don't really want to rush and, like, be like, oh, now we have to do it because it seems like, I don't know, we should take our time with it because, like, we waited so long. So, yeah, so that's what we're doing. We'll probably decide, like, by later this week, I'm thinking. But maybe we'll get the album before 1 year wedding anniversary. I don't know at this point.
I feel like it should not take a year to get your photos. I feel like that's ridiculous. Which
part of it was like, it did take Dave and I a little bit. Like, actually, maybe she should have been the one to reach out. I didn't reach out to Michelle until, I don't even know, maybe a month or two ago to mention the wedding album. But now, like, thinking about it, maybe she should have been the one to be like, oh, hey, what's happening with your wedding album? But honestly, yeah. So it's like, it probably would have, this would be sooner if I did reach out a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm like the kind of person with, like, not really procrastinating, but things like this, like bigger projects, I'm like, oh, there are other things going on. I don't have to think about it. I don't know. So I guess that is procrastinating. But it's fine. So.
Did you guys get, like, anything from the videographer? Like, the videos?
We got that back. Yeah, he sent that a while ago. So.
Good.
Everything's fine. So I guess that's more of the oi. And then my ooh is that my dad and grandma and mom came this weekend and they finished building the fence for a backyard. So now it looks all finished because we had this like big gap in our back where the old fence blew over during a bad storm. So we just have like a section in the back, like the side's fine or whatever. So it looks a lot nicer now.
Good.
So now we can actually hang out and I won't be staring at like preteens shirtless playing basketball. So yeah, I felt like a creep. So yeah. It's like, I think I mentioned this before in some episode, but the way our backyard is angled, like we're kind of like higher a slightly bit, not by that much. Like there's kind of like, I don't know. It's just like, there's a, what's the word? Like it's kind of steep, I guess, in the back and then it gets lower. So then you can see pretty directly into the like 3 yards behind us. And I'm like, I don't need to see all this. Like, whenever people are out in their backyard doing whatever, I can see them. So now that won't be a thing anymore.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you won't be, like, the accidental creep. Like,
no.
Accidentally watching kids playing basketball.
And now the kids probably won't walk through our yard anymore, which I don't think they were. No, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they have since, like, you guys got that camera.
Yeah. And they knew we had the camera, so I told these two kids when they went to apologize to me, and then after I was like, maybe that seemed threatening that I was like, we have a surveillance camera, but I didn't really say it in a threatening manner, but then I was like, that's probably good I told them that, so now they, like, know to not come.
Also, I just have the image, because you're, like, what, 5'2"?
Yeah, something.
I'm just trying to be, like, intimidating to, like, teenagers.
It was such a sad image. Like, this, like, 11-year-old and his, like, 8-year-old brother were just, like, so sad, like, apologizing to me. Aww. I'm just like, oh my god, I'm not, like, old enough to be in this situation. This feels so weird.
At least they have empathy, because a lot of teens don't have empathy.
Yeah, so. Like, they could have just, like, I'm sure they did it because their dad or mom forced them to do that, and they could have just, like, run home and been like, oh no, and I don't know, maybe their parents were watching or something, but.
I mean, just the fact that they threw, like, a bag of carrots at your house.
Oh, so when I asked them about that, they said, the older one said that, oh yeah, I think that was one of my friends who did that.
Why? I don't understand. I just, still. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't get it either. Like,
because when I'm mad at my neighbors, I throw carrots at their door. Like, no.
Like, they think we're, like, the scary, like, witches in the neighborhood, and it's, like, the house you throw carrots at. I have no idea.
Don't go by that house.
I don't know.
I don't know.
They just didn't want to eat their carrots at lunch and were like, what can I throw?
Maybe. Or maybe they were like...
They probably didn't overthink this.
No, I don't think they did because they're teenage boys and they don't overthink things yet. Ever.
A little younger than teenage. If they were teenage, that would be concerning.
Okay, so they're like preteen.
Yeah, that would be worse. Yeah.
They're preteen.
But yeah.
I don't know. Boys are just, they're still weird. Girls can be weird too, but.
Oh, no, they had girls with them at some points too. Okay. Like it seemed like egging them on. So at some points it seemed like they were impressing them by being stupid.
Oh.
Sometimes it was just, sometimes there was like, it looked like almost 10 of them. Like, yeah, whatever. It's done. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that then if the girls were around when they were throwing the bag of carrots, that makes more sense.
Right.
To like impress them.
But yeah, good luck trying to climb over this fence if they listen to this.
Please don't climb over the fence. Your dad worked really hard putting it in. Please don't climb over it.
Yeah, he had to dig up so many rocks. I felt a little bad.
Well, you do live in a rocky area.
I know.
I guess I'll do mine. So I don't really have an ooh. I did get to hang out with dogs this weekend, so I guess that can be my ooh. But... because it's good to have a dog fix every once in a while. So
whose dog was it?
It's one of my friends. She's up here. She has her own dog, and she's up here pet sitting for her sister for like 10 days. And her sister also has a dog. So I got to hang out with two dogs on Saturday. Aww. Which was fun. They're like, one is, I think, a little over one, and then the other one, I think, is almost three. So they're still kind of like puppies a little bit.
Oh, that's cute.
But they're really cute, and they're fun. So I got to hang out with them, which was fun. And then I guess my oi is I tried to get Cheesecake Factory delivered on Friday night, and my driver never dropped off my food.
Oh, no.
So I had to get, like, a refund and a credit and everything, mm-hmm. and then I ended up getting IHOP. So
like yep. It said it was on its way and everything, and then it just didn't show up.
Yeah, it said it was delivered. And it wasn't delivered. So I hope that person enjoyed my food. Because
do you think there's someone else at your building and he just handed it off to someone?
No, because I got down there pretty quickly after I got the notification that it was delivered, and I didn't see anybody or anything. And we don't really do that in my building. Like, everyone, except for the laundry, like, everyone's pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Meves doesn't really touch anything.
Yeah, that'd be pretty shitty.
So I was really annoyed. Because Cheesecake Factory is also, like, it's expensive, especially when you have it delivered.
Mm.
It's expensive. But then I got IHOP, so I just had breakfast for dinner, which was good. So that's my oi. I tried with DoorDash, and it didn't really work.
They always have, like, the worst rates, I feel like, compared
Grubhub
to, like...
Grubhub is better. Grubhub is so
much
better.
Yeah, that's what I usually do. Yeah, I just, like, stopped going on DoorDash because I'm like, they're always more expensive. Why?
They're always more expensive. Yeah. They're never, like, not as reliable as Grubhub.
Mm-hmm.
And they take, like, this... They just, like, their customer service, I feel like, isn't as great as Grubhub.
Mm. It's good you got a refund.
Yeah. So but... I got a credit, so I've just been using that for a little bit. Which is good. So, yeah, it worked out, but it was just like,
that's annoying. Because then it's like you waited that long, too. It's like the amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then I ended up having IHOP twice because I had it Friday. And then my friend and I went to IHOP on Saturday because she's never been before. I was like, oh, we have to go because you've never been. So we went. So, yeah, I had a lot of breakfast this weekend because I also had breakfast for dinner last night. So, like, pretty much just
breakfast.
What's
your go-to IHOP meal?
I love their blueberry pancakes. They're so good. And their bacon's pretty good, so I usually go for that.
Mm. Are the blueberries in it, in the pancake, or on top?
So you can – they're in it, and then you can get, like, a compote that goes on top if you want it.
Hmm.
I usually don't.
Yeah, like when they're in it, too.
Yeah. I usually don't like the compote, but, like, I like the regular blueberry pancakes. They're just really good.
Hmm.
Their waffles are good too. I had their waffle. I had a waffle on Saturday, and that was really good. Yeah, I had too much IHOP this weekend, but it's fine. Yeah, so we don't know what each other's stories are because we forgot to send hints again. So
yes, I don't remember how I decided on this. Well, I chose it Friday, Saturday, because as I mentioned, my family was here. So then I was kind of scrambling, like, oh no, I have to do this. And then I remembered, I don't remember, but I do remember hearing this case a few years ago. It was either like, it could have been Unsolved Mysteries, maybe. So it's the disappearance of Amy Lynn Bradley, specifically disappearing from a cruise ship. Did I say cruise ship? Cruise ship. Cruise ship.
Yeah, you said cruise ship. What were you trying to say?
Cruise ship. Cruise. Anyway.
Just move on, Danielle. Just move on at this point.
So it happened on March 1998. She was on a family trip with her brother and mom and dad, and the ship was the Rhapsody of the Seas. The destination was Curacao. And then 7 years after her disappearance, her family received a strange photograph in the mail that may have been a clue in finding her. So it was around 5:30 a.m. on March 24th, 1998, when Ron Bradley, Amy's father, looked out. So I don't know, it seems like they had a large room. He looked out towards their balcony, so they had a balcony in their room, but the website I was using said it was like basically a stateroom, which I don't think, that doesn't really like explain what size it was, but apparently Amy had her own bedroom area, it sounded like, and there was a balcony and there were four of them there, so it seemed like it was good amount of space, I guess. Like, I've been on a few cruises, and most rooms do not have balconies or anything. That's, like, the higher tier option. So, the last cruise I went on, we had a, like, giant window, which was really cool. But all the other cruises I've been on, it was, like, either no window or very small porthole type thing. So when I saw, like, 1998, like, balcony, she had her own room. I was like, what? This must have been a nicer type place. Like, what the hell?
Did it say the cruise company?
Royal Caribbean.
That, yeah, so, that makes a little bit more sense.
I was just surprised in 98 that they had rooms like that. Because, like, I always thought of cruises as being, like, kind of a more recent thing. But I guess even then, at that point, it was popular.
It probably was really expensive, too.
Right.
Like, especially for back then.
Mm. So her father looked out toward the balcony. It was 5:30 a.m. And he saw his daughter, I guess, just, like, lounging on the balcony. But then when he checked again a half hour later, she was gone. Initially, people thought it must have been an accident and she probably fell overboard into the murky waters. But the theory was disputed pretty quickly because Amy was known to be a strong swimmer and was actually a trained lifeguard. And the ship was docked, so it was pretty close to shore. So it wasn't like it was out in the open seas or anything. So the Bradley family consisted of Ron and Iva, and their children, Amy and Brad. They boarded the Rhapsody of the Seas on March 21st, 1998 in Puerto Rico. So the voyage was Puerto Rico to Aruba and then Curacao. The ship was docked close to the shore in Curacao on the night of March 23rd. Amy and her brother were partying, I guess, in the ship's club. They were dancing to the ship band Blue Orchid, and Amy was spotted talking to some of the band members and was dancing with the bass player. The bass player, Alistair Douglas, also known as Yellow. So the siblings decided to call it a night and headed out to their family cabin at 1 a.m. This was the last time Brad would see his sister. Quote, "The last thing I ever said to Amy was, I love you, before I went to sleep that night. Knowing that is the last thing I said to her has always been very comforting to me," end quote. A few hours later, Ron saw his daughter on the deck of their stateroom, but when he checked later, she was gone. So he proceeded to her bedroom, expecting to find her sleeping, but she wasn't there. The only items that appeared to be missing were her cigarettes and a lighter. Her family started searching common spaces around the ship, but could not find Amy. The family grew increasingly concerned and tried to convince the cruise ship staff to keep everyone on board, because I guess that was a day where they were letting people off the ship to explore the area. So the family was trying to convince them, like, something happened to their daughter. She might still be on the ship. Like, if there's a chance, we should try to look through everything before people leave. But when they told the cruise ship staff this idea, they didn't like it and basically ignored them, it sounded like. So Amy's family refused to believe that she left on her own volition. She recently started a new job. She had a new apartment in Virginia and also had a beloved bulldog named Daisy. Yeah, so when people got off the ship to explore Curacao, this was also gave potential kidnappers a chance to whisk Amy off the ship. Also, to add to the potentially suspicious behavior of the cruise ship staff, they remained unhelpful in trying to find her. They initially delayed announcing her disappearance to the ship and also refused to hang photos of the missing woman because they did not want to upset the other passengers. They searched the common areas, but did not search the staff or passenger cabins. Meanwhile, her family turned their efforts into finding people on board who they thought were paying their daughter, quote, special attention. Eva Bradley told Dr. Phil later that the family noticed Amy was paid a lot of attention by the crew members. Amy's father, Ron, recounted during a meal on the ship that a waiter asked for Amy's name and said, quote, they, quote, want to take her to Carlos and Charlie's restaurant in Curacao, or no, in Aruba, when the ship was docked. And when her father asked her about this later, she responded saying, quote, I wouldn't go and do anything with any of those crew members. They give me the creeps, end quote. So yeah, that's creepy. In a bizarre twist, the restaurant is the same place, the same restaurant where Natalie Holloway, an 18-year-old American, who disappeared in 2005, was last seen. The Bradley family heard from witnesses that they had seen Amy early in the morning. She disappeared with Alistair Douglas, the bass player from the ship band. They were seen around 6 a.m., but Alistair would later deny this. In the following months, Amy's family wrote to congressmen, foreign officials, and the White House. When they did not receive a response, the family hired some private detectives, built a website, and started a 24-hour hotline. So it seems like they did have some resources, I guess, to be able to do this. Eva always had a feeling that there was someone or multiple people out there who knew something but didn't want to come forward. Throughout this, multiple people in the Caribbean reported seeing Amy over the years. In August of 1998, 5 months after she went missing, two Canadian tourists saw a woman who resembled Amy on a beach. The woman had the same tattoos as Amy, a Tasmanian devil with a basketball on her shoulder, a sun on her lower back, a Chinese symbol on her right ankle, and a lizard on her navel. But I guess nothing progressed from that, apparently. Then in 1998, a member of the Navy visited a brothel in Curacao where reportedly he met a woman who told him her name was Amy Lynn Bradley. She proceeded to beg him for help with rescuing her, but the man who was in the Navy was scared of getting in trouble and didn't report it at the time. Until he later saw a photo of Amy's face on People magazine, and then I guess came forward with it. But I guess nothing progressed from that either. That same year, the Bradleys received another promising potential, clue, I guess, Frank Jones, a supposed former U.S. Army Special Forces officer, told them for the right amount, he could locate and rescue Amy from armed Colombians who were keeping her hostage in Curacao. After receiving $200,000 from the desperate family, Frank never lived up to his promises and it seems like basically ghosted the family and didn't say anything else. But he actually did end up having to pay them later on. So he was sentenced to 5 years in prison and was ordered to repay the money. And then 6 years after that, a woman claimed to have spotted Amy in a department store restroom in Barbados. Amy reportedly told the witness she was Amy from Virginia and she was fighting with two or three men. In 2005, the Bradleys received an email with a photo of a woman who looked similar to Amy. She was lying on a bed in her underwear. A member of an organization who tries to locate trafficking victims saw the picture on a website and thought it could be Amy. But even this seemed to be a dead end and no more leads were made. So the investigation into Amy Lynn Bradley's disappearance is still ongoing. And both the FBI and the Bradley family are offering a sizable reward for information on her whereabouts. So that's the like crazy disappearance of Amy Lynn Bradley.
That is crazy. And I think I remember hearing about it. I don't know if I remember hearing about it, like, when it happened, if they were, like, on the news and stuff back in 98, but it does sound, like, vaguely familiar.
It's just crazy that there's a connection with the last place Natalie Holloway was seen, the same restaurant.
Yeah. It's also crazy how, like, the cruise crew, like, did not do anything to help.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if things would have been different today, because, like, she probably would have had a cell phone that they could have tracked. Or maybe they would have had, like, better cameras. Because people still disappear on cruises. Like, that's just something unfortunately happens. I mean, she may have even fallen, like, overboard, too.
Well, that's what their initial theory was. But then it seemed like because they were docked, there's a photo you can look up. Like, if you look up this story. And I don't know if it's the same exact ship that was used for this cruise. Or, like, if it was that specific date. But there's a photo of the ship, like, docked in Curacao, and you can actually see how far it is. Like, you can see shore from where the ship was. So I guess that's why it was ruled out. Like, but even, I don't know, like, maybe if she was, I don't know, drunk, or, like, there could be, or maybe she hit her head, but for whatever reason, it seemed like it was definitively ruled out. The fact that it's still ongoing, which kind of surprises me. You would almost think the opposite, like, how many people fall overboard, but not the FBI, like, don't investigate those cases. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
She may have been pushed, maybe by the musician or something. If, like,
well, that's, I think that adds a lot of intrigue to it, that, like, she had some items missing from her room. Multiple people reported seeing her with this guy. Like, it definitely seems a little suspicious. And the fact that he denied being with her at that time is weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I would have probably leaned on him harder.
It's so frustrating, too, that, like, they wouldn't search in the staff's quarters. I remember that was a major point in wherever I was watching this before. I feel like it may have been Unsolved Mysteries. Like, they zeroed in on that, that it was, like, if something like this were to happen now, they would search staff's quarters and guest quarters.
They would. But there also is that issue where it could have been human trafficking, because that is still a thing. Yeah. So that could have been a possibility. Did it say how old she was when she disappeared? Or did you say?
I feel like she was in her 20s. No. I think she would have been, like, 40s or 50s now. 23.
Okay, so 23, yeah.
Oh, I guess her family sued Royal Caribbean, too, at one point.
Yeah, that makes sense, because they weren't helpful. I just feel bad for that family, because, like, that's one thing where you go on a vacation and you think a cruise is going to be safe, because it's like, where are you going to go? But then stuff happens.
I've been to Curacao too, so it's like, wow, the fact that things like that, like, you don't, like, when you're there, you're like, oh, it seems so happy and whatever, like, ooh, tourist vacation, but it's like, mm-hmm. no, bad things happen there, like.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, a sex trafficking ring or human trafficking yeah. or something.
I feel like that's also, I'm hearing more about, like, shows and things focused on sex trafficking crimes now, but I feel like that wasn't a topic at all in the 90s. Like, that wasn't discussed no. or mentioned for whatever reason as much as other crimes.
I feel like, too, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this. There was, like, recently, like, a big sex trafficking or human trafficking ring yeah. that was, like, dismantled or found out about. But I don't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in the States.
Mm. Oh, was that with the, like, boys? I heard about so. That. And there may have been, like, presidents so. Involved and kidnappings. Yep. It's so sketchy.
Yep, yeah. stuff like that where it's like, you don't think that happens, and it still does. But I think if that same thing were to happen today, there might be a slightly different outcome. But again, like, mm-hmm. people still disappear on cruise ships, which is one of the reasons why I don't want to mm-hmm. go. Because I don't want to, yeah, I just don't want to tempt fate.
Yeah, like, yeah, I feel like also the amount of alcohol they serve doesn't mm-hmm. help with, like, because I have heard, I think, of, like, a guy pushing his girlfriend or mm-hmm. wife. I think I heard about that a while ago, too. Like, there are all these, like, different situations. Yeah.
Yep.
Because you're kind of trapped in a way. Like,
you are. That's why I don't want to, like, that's why cruises make me anxious. Because, like, I don't think I would do well being trapped on a boat.
Yeah, I would choose a resort. Like, resort versus cruise ship, I choose a resort.
Yeah, that's just me, but. Yeah. Unless it's, like, maybe a Disney cruise, maybe I'd do that. Because I feel like that would yeah. be fun. Yeah,
nothing bad can happen on those, I don't think.
I'm pretty sure there are, but.
Probably Disney jail and that.
Yeah.
On that. I actually did a Disney cruise when I was really young. I vaguely, barely remember that. I think I was, like, 5. Maybe. I think yeah. it was fun.
But I feel like your parents, like, let you do so many fun trips. Like, you were always like, I'm going to, like,
oh, wait, here. That was in the 90s then. Okay, so I did. I was just yeah. like, cruises in the 90s, I did do one. Oh, that's funny. I just remember that.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've never been on a cruise. I'm not sure.
It's all right. Like, when it was just me and my parents and I was, like, mm-hmm. awkward, like, preteen. I don't know. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. it was fun, but sometimes I was like, I don't want to be here with my parents every day. Like,
yeah.
But sometimes it was okay because it's just, like, so night, like, weather-wise, usually you're, like, have to enjoy that at least, but it can be awkward. If yeah. you're there with your parents and you're under drinking age limits, but.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I guess it could be fun with friends or if you really like your family.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it'd be more fun with, like, yeah, friends or if you like your parents. But, I mean, at least with cruises, there's, like, different stuff for everybody to do. So you don't feel obligated to, like, hang out.
Yeah, all that's the time. True. Yeah.
So.
Anyway, what's your topic?
So, my topic for this week is the Minotaur.
Oh, getting mythological.
Yeah, I went down a mythological rabbit hole last night. Well, I was like, shit, I need to do my topic.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I picked the Minotaur for this week, and I'm guessing you're vaguely familiar, or it sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking. I feel like we went over this, that class I had in, like, middle school mm-hmm. with Mrs. King. I feel like we talked yeah. about it then because I can literally think of, like, the story yeah. that is associated with it.
So there is a very well-known story. Yeah. And that is, which I'll get into, but that is the story of Theseus. So essentially a minotaur is a mythical creature that at least portrayed during a classical antiquity, and has the head and tail of a bull and the body of a man. So it's generally described by as being like part man, part bull. And the story essentially is that this minotaur dwelt in the center of a labyrinth, which is a very elaborate maze-like construction that was designed by the architect Daedalus and his son Icarus, and on the command of King Minos of Crete, and was eventually killed by the Athenian hero Theseus. The word actually derives from ancient Greek and basically translates to Bull of Minos. And it was originally a proper noun in reference to a mythical figure. And there was only the one minotaur, in contrast of like the use of minotaur as a common noun to refer to members of a generic species. But according to legend, or at least stories, there's only one, essentially, minotaur. Basically, it is commonly represented in classical art, again, with the body of a man, head and tail of a bull, and that's generally how it's just described or how one sees it, whether it's an art or whether it's just talking about the story of Theseus. And then the actual story of Theseus is that, and excuse my pronunciation of the Greek names, it's been a while since I've had to pronounce any Greek, so basically, Prince Androgeus, son of King Midas, died, and the fall apparently laid with the Athenians, and there was a sacrifice of a young Athenian man and woman for the penalty for his death. There are some other versions where he was killed by the Athenians because of their jealousy of the victories that he had won in the Panathenic Games. So there's just like different versions of like how he was essentially killed, but essentially there was a third sacrifice that was approaching, and that was the Athenian priest Theseus, who volunteered to slay the monster that was in the labyrinth, and everybody knows that the monster is the Minotaur. He promised his father Aegeus that he would change the somber black sail of the boat carrying the victims from Athens to Crete and put up the white sail for his return journey if he was successful, and the crew would leave up the black sail if he was killed. In Crete, Minos's daughter, Ariande, fell madly in love with Theseus and helped him navigate the labyrinth. In most accounts, she gave him essentially a ball of thread. This would allow him to be able to retrace his path, and according to various classical sources that were represented, Theseus killed the Minotaur with his bare hands. And other versions, he killed it with either a club or a sword. He then led the Athenians out of the labyrinth, and they all sailed with Ariande away to Crete. On the way home, Theseus abandoned Ariande on the island of Naxos and continued on to Athens. The returning group neglected to replace the black sail with the white sail, as was promised. So from the look of the Cape Sonian, King Aegeus saw the black sail and ship approaching, so he presumed that his son was dead. And because he presumed that his son was dead, he committed suicide by actually throwing himself into the sea that is since named after him, and his death secured the throne for Theseus. So obviously, there are a lot of different interpretations to that legend or to that story, ranging from Homer describing the shield of Achilles remarked that Daedalus had constructed a ceremonial dancing ground for Ariande, but does not associate them with the labyrinth. There is even some 19th century mythologists that propose that the Minotaur was maybe a personification of the sun and a Minoan adaptation of the Baal Moloch of the Phoenicians. And the slaying of the Minotaur by Theseus in that case would have actually been interpreted as a memory of the Athens breaking relations with Minoan Crete. And then there's the historical explanation of the myth that refers to a time when Crete was the main political and cultural potency of the Aegean Sea, and the fledgling Athens and other Greek cities was under tribute to Crete, and it can be assumed that the tribute would include a young man and woman for sacrifice. because they did do a lot of that back then. There were a lot of human sacrifices, and that the ceremony was performed by a priest that may have been disguised with a bullhead or a mask, thus explaining the imagery of the Minotaur. There's also been a lot of very famous cultural references to the Minotaur as well. That includes Dante's Inferno, Pablo Picasso even had a series of etchings in the Fullard Suite that show the Minotaur being tormented. This may have been inspired by Spanish bullfighting, because he was known to be inspired by that as well. But he also depicted the Minotaur in his 1993 etching called Minotaur Kneeling Over Sleeping Girl. And then in his 1935 etching, Minotaur Maki. There is also an opera by Harrison Birtwistle that is called The Minotaur. There have been several other representations of Minotaurs, including the 1981 film Time Bandits. There is a movie by the name of Minotaur, which is apparently a horror adaptation of the legend. And this does star Tom Hardy as Theo, or Theseus. And that was released back by Lionsgate in 2006. And then there is a 1976 film that was directed by Sam Wanamaker that has Peter Mayhew, which is called Sinbad in the Eye of the Tiger. And it was a film debut for Peter Mayhew as the Minotaur. And I guess he was like a bronze Minotaur or something. And then there was a 1985 film titled Time Bandits, which had a monster that was resembling the Minotaur. So there's been a lot of like, and obviously if you go to, you know, if you go to museums and everything, you'll see a lot of art that has the story of Theseus and that depicts the Minotaur. And there's so many different adaptations where like, not necessarily saying it didn't happen, but they're trying to be like, well, maybe it happened because of this or because of that. So that's why they were basically like, people are trying to look into like what could have inspired something like that, because generally most of Greek mythology is inspired by something because it has to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, I haven't really looked into the Minotaur in, I think, since college, because I took a Greek mythology and Roman mythology class in college when I was studying abroad in Italy, and I really enjoyed it. And we did discuss the Minotaur for a bit and got to look at like some artwork and everything. So that was pretty cool. So I just think it's like a cool like story and legend, and like it is popular, but I feel like it's not as popular as some other Greek myths.
Yeah, it's definitely one I've seen referenced in like various movies, I feel like. So it's like, yeah, there's something about it that people still remember or talk about now.
I just think it's really shitty, and I forgot that this happened, where Theseus basically abandons the girl that loves him and helped him through the labyrinth and then goes home. And it's just like, dude, what the hell? Like, she helped you. You survived because she helped you.
Classic man.
So, yeah. But it was also sad that his dad committed suicide because he thought that he had died, but also, like, he then got the throne. So it's, like, one of those, like...
So it talks of... It's, like, speaks to, like, people's issues and mental states and stuff.
Yeah, but I think it also is just very typical Greek where it's, like, everybody is flawed. Like, nobody's, like, perfect.
Yeah.
Or, you drama. Know... Yeah, there's drama. There's confusion, there's drama, there's layers. Everybody is an onion.
Love, loss, death.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's loss.
That's why I like the Greek myths, because they are complicated and it's not black and white. So, yeah. But yeah, so that was my topic this week.
Good job.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for another fun episode of Oi with the Terror already. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find our Instagram page, which is Oi with the Terror Already, and our Facebook page is Oi with the Terror Already Podcast. We do drop an episode every Thursday, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Playlist, basically anywhere podcasts are available to listen to. If you have any scary stories, or if you want us to talk about a specific topic, you can email us at oiwiththeterroralready@gmail.com. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.